Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. Today I am speaking with Nathan Woodworth. He is the CEO of James E. Wagner Cultivation Corp. Stock symbol on TSX Venture is JWCA. And over the counter US is JWCAF. Nathan, welcome.
Hi there, Jack. Thanks very much for having me today.
So, Nathan, your company is, you know, kind of one of the innovators and growers in the cannabis space in Canada. Today's Monday, so just a couple of days ago, you announced a license for an expanded growing facility, which is gonna, it looks like it's gonna take you from, yeah, it's roughly, it's gonna be over a 20-fold increase in and production capacity. What is it that you do that, you know, differentiates your business, you know, sort of in this increasingly competitive space right now?
Well, first off, I would like to just mention that because our initial facility was only 15,000 square feet, of course, our efficiency of implementation there is relatively low. So we're actually looking at about a 25 times increase in terms of our total production capacity between the two sites. That said, you know, what makes us different than a lot of the companies out there is that although we are a licensed producer of cannabis, and I, when you ask me the question, I'm never going to say, no, we don't grow cannabis anymore. We will always will do that. We are also a technology company, and in many ways, first and foremost, a technology company. For years now, we have been studying the field of aeroponics, and we have developed a unique proprietary patent-pending platform, which we call the GrowthStorm system. And very recently, we patented a new innovation even within that field, which is a new advance, the GrowthStorm dual droplet system, which is a world's first and perhaps the most advanced cultivation system for cannabis in existence.
So basically, I guess your this growing technology that you have, that's what gives you the competitive advantage?
In a large sense. And I think there's two ways we gain a competitive advantage from that technology. First of all, our products are superior in quality. We are able to consistently produce some of the best cannabis in the world. We have an extremely low crop loss rate, certainly below 2%. Over the last 6 months, we've maintained below 1%, and we hope to continue to do so. And our products are extremely clean. Of course, the testing regime for these products can be quite severe. Many companies forced to irradiate their products in order to pass the biological testing. Our products come out of the grow room with zero biological contaminants much of the time, and that is as clean as a irradiated product, and we will never irradiate any of our products that are for sale. So that sort of thing really resonates with consumers. Top quality, clean, consistent. These are things that customers are going to keep coming back for year after year. And I think that's going to help us build a market share in regards to our cannabis products. That said, in years to come, I believe that the majority of our revenue will be derived from the licensing of our technology. And we've referred to it as a cultivation platform, which it is. However, we've developed unique technological solutions to a wide variety of issues that face cannabis cultivators from the beginning to end, from propagation to drying and curing. We have solutions within the GrowthStorm system.
Okay, so let's kind of get into it. How does this work? So it's an aeroponic growing system. Like how does it compare to other forms of growing? And maybe if you can get into some details.
Sure. So aeroponics is an advanced type of hydroponic cultivation. Hydroponics generally refers to any system where the nutrients are dissolved in and delivered through the water that is applied to the plants. The difference in aeroponics is that we use no substrate. The roots of the plant hang freely in the air inside an enclosure, and then they are misted with a proprietary nutrient solution. Now, this has a wide variety of effects. Two of the most important are we don't bring in any external contaminating factors. That results in a cleaner, higher quality finished product. The other, of course, is that we have a much higher degree of control over that total plant system. Because there's nothing between us and the plant, by measuring the nutrient solution and the total volume of it, the concentration of dissolved solids, we can tell over a very short time period, as low as 15 minutes, to the microgram, how much nutrition that plant has consumed. This allows us to optimize the total system to get the most out of our plants. So the combination of those two elements result in a robust, highly controllable, clean, consistent, and extremely cost-effective cultivation system, which positions us, I believe, in a unique area within the total realm of cultivation technology.
So real quick, the plant hangs free in the air. It's not in soil. It's not in water. The roots are.
That's correct.
Okay.
There are some images of this on our website, jwc.ca, and articles about this technology. Difficult, of course, to explain all of the nuances of it verbally, but I think that this is key. The roots hang freely in the air, and this allows us to assess the total plant. We deal directly with the root system by misting those roots with the appropriate nutrient solution.
Okay, so in terms of the end result, what's the difference in terms of quality? Like how does the plant differ in terms of quality and strength of the cannabis, and also in terms of production costs? How do you compare versus the other growing methods?
Well, I'm going to answer that question in reverse order, actually. Our management team is confident that at our full-scale facility, we'll be able to drive the cost of a gram of top-quality cannabis, indoor cultivated, below a dollar. So accounting for all of the variables there, that makes us one of the lower-cost producers in the market with one of the highest quality and most controlled products. What those markers of quality are is something that I think is on the wish list of every cannabis consumer out there. It's consistency. If you buy a gram of a particular product from us today and you come back in 6 months and buy a gram of that product, you're getting the exact same thing. You're getting the same size and shape of buds. You're getting the same THC content. You're getting the same terpene profile so that it has the same flavor and enjoyability. And that's reflected in the user reviews of our product. If you do some looking online, you'll see that our products are very well regarded and widely considered some of the best Canada has to offer.
Okay. And what about in terms of the production? You started with the 15,000 square feet. Now you're increasing that by a factor of 25 times. What's going to be the production capacity of the new facility?
So we are, making some modest predictions to start with. We have strains that yield a lot. We have strains that yield a little, and I think they both have a value. The one thing that this industry often overlooks is that, driving that number, grams per square foot, up and up and up, isn't always the measure of success. We want to grow products which are going to fetch a differentiated price. People pay more for good quality product. We've seen this in a lot of other industries. But we also want to create a variety of SKUs that our patients and customers are going to resonate with. So we look at an aggregate average and we predict based on historical performance. And we know we're going to grow upwards of 30,000 kilos per year of top quality cannabis from this site. Now, that said, I expect we'll do much more than that. Some of our new genetics yield over twice as much as our nominal average. So we could very well be pushing closer to 40. But that's certainly not within the realm of predictability yet. We named the company after my grandfather who ran a farm for many years. And he was fond of saying, don't count your chickens before you hatch. So 30,000 puts us in firmly in the realm of hatched chickens and is a safe prediction for this facility, in addition to approximately the 1,500 or 1,000 to 1,500 kilos that we're likely to do per year out of our pilot facility.
Okay. And what kind of revenues would that generate, ballpark?
Well, that is, anybody's guess at this point. I expect that we would be doing in excess of gross revenues over $200 million. Our products right now do fetch a premium price, and we certainly, do try to continue to pursue markets in which that is the case. I'm just going to run a quick number here and say, yes, certainly in excess of $200 million. I would put that number between $220 and $250 million a year out of this facility.
Okay, so the new facility could generate $200 million plus in revenues.
Absolutely.
And when are you going to start actually production? When can we start seeing some of those numbers start coming in?
So on Friday, we got our license. Within 24 hours, we had populated 4 out of 8 of our phase one grow rooms. Thousands of plants had landed on site. One of the great things about the GrowthStorm system is its massive efficiency. So we were able to transfer and advance genetics with extreme speed. So we expect to have phase one completely populated in the next week or two, at which point we are going to continue to push forward. Before we do our first harvest out of phase one, the first of our phase two pods will be online and be populated with plants. And that's likely how things will continue. Now, in the near term, we have distribution agreements with Canopy Growth Corp through their Craft Grow program. We have our own medical patient base, which is continuously growing due to people transferring to us because of the quality of our product. And that will likely occupy us for the next few months. But within the next couple of months, we will be starting into our harvest cycle at this facility. And we're going to continue to ramp up after that. Of course, when you're working with an organic element like a plant, it really doesn't pay to try and turn the switch on the entire place all at once. You're going to run into trouble, and you're going to take time to populate that facility. So we've
Okay.
mapped the more gradual climb into this facility that will see us reach full productive capacity sometime around the middle of 2020, so a little more than a year from now. And at that point, we will be launched on that trajectory and certainly producing well in excess of 1,000 kilos of top quality product every month, which will be enough for us to reach into each of the provincial distributorships up here in Canada.
Okay. So at in 2020, so let's say a year from now, you plan to be producing roughly 1,000 kilos a month.
Closer to 1,500,
1,500,
and
okay.
there is some vagary there because, of course, the periodicity for a harvest is 2 months. So sometimes there's going to be months that tend down toward that 1,000, and other times we'll have months that are close to 3,000, which is just the way things sort of move into and out of phase with a 2 month harvest cycle.
Okay. So and so how much would that yield in terms of how much is a kilo going for in terms of, I guess, like a blended rate between your different qualities?
That's very true. Of course, there is a wide variety of materials, and that number is very difficult to arrive at because, of course, here in Canada, we exist in a constantly shifting, sector. By next year, this time, we will have a variety of secondary products, edibles and concentrates, which can sometimes yield a greater revenue than the dried flower products can. However, generally we calculate on between $6.50 and $7 per gram on a blended price basis, which is a good price point. And we've seen that come down from a lot of the major companies that have reported those numbers as they've advanced a little further into this equation, right in that area. And so we feel that it's a safe prediction rate.
So, Nathan, I'm American, so we don't know how many grams are in a kilo. So
Oh, my apologies.
how much is
1,000
that per
grams in a
kilo?
kilo,
1,000
so it's
grams. Okay.
$7,000 per kilo. In a given month, if we produce 1,500 kilos for that $7,000 piece, we're looking at about 10.5 million. And of course, some months go quite up from there. And there is some variability within those numbers.
So, okay, so roughly by next year this time, you expect to be on a run rate of roughly 100 million a year, roughly.
Certainly ramping up. By the time we reach the end of Q3 of next year, we'll be in excess of that 200 million per year. Once things are fine-tuned and I believe my final nominal average per month puts us closer to that 1,800 kilos. Or actually, sorry, let me just run that number very quickly. You're putting me through my mathematical paces here, which I absolutely do not mind. On a more nominal basis, we would be predicting closer to 1,600 kilos per month for the average for this facility. Oh.
Okay. So I
Which
guess the main takeaway though for investors would be that they can start being able to track sort of like your progress with some of the news flow that you're going to have coming out of the next over the next, I don't know, 6, 9, 12 months?
Absolutely, absolutely. Over the next few quarters, you're going to begin to see the total implementational efficacy of the Growth Storm system as our quarterly financials begin to reflect vastly increased earnings and a well-controlled cost basis. In the lead-up to this, of course, the capital costs of building a new facility, the training and HR costs of bringing online a much expanded workforce in advance of their need have resulted in some of those factors being slightly out of alignment, but that will all come into focus in the next 6 to 9 months, as you say, and we'll begin to see some of those numbers come together. And of course, the real variable is, as you say, in those distribution methods and what the market looks like a year from now. A very small change in that price per gram can result in some pretty large shifts on a month-to-month basis. And of course, the strains that we're producing can vary in their yields. Certainly a lot more to come in that regard. But the secondary story, and perhaps the one which is of more interest, to myself and to many in this industry, is the role that that technology will play. Already we have a company who is seeking a license here in Canada, signed up to license the Growth Storm system from us, and we are in talks with dozens more. In addition, we are looking to place this technology with existent licensed producers in order to help them maximize the return for their space, drive up their total produced amounts, and of course maximize that quality and consistency within that finished product.
Okay, so how does one of these licenses work? How is it structured in terms of what is it that you provide for the licensee, and what kind of revenues does that generate? Is it a one time? Is it a recurring? How does that work?
So it is a recurring fee, and there are two ways that we structure it. For new licensees, we often put it in place in terms of a streaming arrangement because we know that the product they produce using Growth Storm will be a top quality product. We end up in a streaming agreement for a variety of services. They get the basic technology, the software to back it up, application assistance, facility design assistance, training. We can also assist with quality assurance and monitoring of processes. We can even supply some of our Growth Storm exclusive genetics for them. So all of these services combined result in a royalty and streaming amount between a minimum of 6% for just the technology up to a maximum of 15%. So generally speaking, we end up with about a 10% streaming arrangement on gross production for that facility. Now, they're going to produce more product from less space. They're going to do the job more effectively at a lower cost as a result of using this technology. So it works out well for them, and it helps to prevent them from having to absorb large costs at the outset. We do the work that a lot of consultants would normally be hired to do in terms of security design, facility design, SOPs and application work, and so on and so forth. With existing companies, we find that a different approach is usually preferred. Rather than look at royalties or streaming on the entire production footprint, we work it in terms of a setup fee and then a recurring licensing fee. No matter which way we work it, it ends up being a recurring revenue for JWC because we are still in a period of rapid technological development in this industry. In the last few months, we've introduced our dual droplet system. Now, when we introduce a new technological solution under these licensing agreements, we move to supply that to our licensees as quickly as we can.
Like that Tesla.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. They're pushing updates all the time. And so will we. Our software development department is actually one of our largest departments here at JWC, and we push out new updates weekly, just like Tesla, as you say. And we're going to continue on that road. So as we develop new technologies, new software, all of this is going to benefit our family of companies that are using the Growth Storm technology. We call it the Growth Storm family. So we will succeed together as we gain in strength. We will aggregate that data, do more studies of what's going on inside the plant, and continue to do better and better as we advance. So there's a lot of advantage there.
One thing I want to ask, can you explain the difference between streaming versus royalties and so forth?
Sure. Well, generally speaking, the licensing system up here means that a new applicant will seek a cultivation license. Now, with a cultivation license, you can sell wholesale to other producers who have a processing license, but you can't sell directly to the end user through either the medical or recreational channel. So in that area, we're happy to serve as a processor for our family of companies for, you know, a nominal additional fee, of course, is work involved. But since the product is coming our way, regardless, we can take payment in grams of cannabis, and then we can route that and sell it as JWC product through our normal distribution channels. Or we can, with other companies who have both licenses or have an interest in paying us in terms of a cash payment, we can simply convert that to a royalty payment on the basis of a certain equivalency in terms of dollars per gram. And so, there is multiple ways we can do that. We're open to either. You know, this is a new industry. This is a new solution. And we're open strategically to what works best for our licensing partners.
So roughly, but the license will roughly generate 10% of gross
That's
that
right.
you'd be getting. Okay. How big is the opportunity for licensing? What kind of how many potential, I guess, I don't know, what kind of metric we'd put, how many well, let's maybe just, you can throw out a dollar number.
Well, you know, I think that there's a bunch of different ways to look at it. First of all, here in Canada, we've set a goal of licensing 1 million square feet within the first 12 months of our licensing program, which has begun. And of course, that would generate the equivalent of an additional 100,000 square feet of pure production for JWC, which, based on some of the numbers we've thrown around, we can see that that would add, about $50 to $70 million to our bottom line. Just there. But this is an international endeavor, and we're looking at a variety of emerging markets
Okay.
for additional opportunities.
James, so let's kind of back up here. Now, you said that your goal is roughly 1 million square feet under license,
That's right.
right? Okay, and so the royalty, and based on the royalties or streaming, the equivalent that you're saying would be roughly 50 million in revenues?
Yes, approximately that for JWC is roughly where I put
Okay.
that number.
So that how big would your margin be on that? Because this is basically, I guess, intellectual property at more or less.
That's right. That is sort of a net figure in that we are rapidly ramping up to handle the production of this equipment and the support of it in our own facilities. So there is a fairly nominal increase to our own cost outlay as it being an extension of our own ability to produce this equipment. All of our plastics and so forth will be manufactured locally here in Waterloo region, and our cost of production for that square footage is already figured into our cost of equipment for ourselves here at our pilot facility and our expansion facility. So certainly, the total, I would estimate it to be less than 10% in terms of our cost out of the total. But that is an early day estimate, and we need to run through a few of these to make sure all of our initial calculations hold.
So your gross profit in theory could be what, 45 million?
Well, more like that 50 that we had mentioned. As
50.
I mentioned, I consider that to be sort of a net number at that
Net.
point.
Okay, so that's basically 50 million to the bottom line.
That's right.
Okay, and then we're talking about Canadian dollars.
Of course.
Okay, it's still, it's still impressive.
Yes.
So 50 million to the bottom line from license, and how soon do you think you can have that 1 million square feet licensed out?
Well, I'm hoping that the majority of it comes online over the course of 2020. We have this whole licensing game pretty well tuned, and a lot of what we've done in terms of developing these assets is taken from our own experiences in licensing our various facilities. So we share that out, and from our own experience, we believe that we can get through this in pretty quick order, assuming that the general governmental agencies agencies are able to keep up the pace. And so certainly over the course of 2020, we expect the majority of that to come online.
So in terms of actual, but I guess there's going to be a ramp up period for these licenses also to start harvesting and all of that.
Yes, of course. We generally advise that that's the route that people follow, and then follow depending on the size of their facility, a 6 to 12 month ramp up period. But at the same time, we are also pursuing, placing this equipment in existing licensed producers' facility, and because of their general preference to do the setup fee and monthly licensing fee, and the fact that it's already underway, we believe that we will be generating revenue from the Growth-Storm technology. Well in advance of the eventual total achievement of that square footage number.
So
Difficult to predict what that will be, because of course, the momentum and inertia built up inside these existing cultivators means that it can be difficult for them to undertake a shift like this. We're there to support that and make that transition as easy as possible, but nonetheless, it remains to be seen how quickly we can undertake to get them converted over.
Okay, so in terms of the 50 million, would that do you think you can achieve that in 2020?
Likely will fall short of that number in 2020 and push beyond that number in 2021. There will be some overlap, between the two sets of efforts. And if you consider them separately in that fashion and edit out the setup fees that we would get from existing licensed producers, then yeah, that's sort of what I would predict, that will fall slightly short in 2020 and then exceed it in 2021.
So geographically, this million square feet, where which market would this be? Is this Canada? Is this the
That
US?
specifically refers to Canada.
Okay.
At the moment, because we're listed on the TSXV, we are not actively engaged in licensing our technology into the US because of the restrictions that are placed on us to do that sort of business. But we are certainly looking forward to that market, and we're in talks with many other international marketplaces. Rather than go through the difficult job of trying to export product into the European market or into Australia, I would much rather see our technology there and have people in those areas of the world cultivating using the Growth-Storm technology.
Now, you mentioned a little bit earlier some emerging markets. So this is you're referring to Australia, Europe, etc.
There are a number of them, yes. And in some cases, talks are in very early stages, but definitely we are actively pursuing placing our technology in all internationally legal marketplaces.
Okay, so as the cannabis becomes more commoditized, what is your strategy to to move up the value chain?
Well, I think that maintaining that product quality differentiator is key, and we're beginning to see that in certain oversaturated U.S. marketplaces, that quality product will always fetch a premium, even in a supersaturated marketplace. That said, the transition from a primary focus on cultivation to a primary focus on technology, I think that this is key and will support us in the long run in that transition. People need a reliable way to do this job and to produce these products. And right now, we see hundreds of different options. There's very few other industries around where these types of engineering problems are approached with such a wide variety of potential solutions. And I think that's because our industry is still searching for the best answer. And when we can show that we're there at the forefront with the right solution, I think that transition will happen quite smoothly to the point where in some years' time we can turn our attention back to the general agricultural industry and show that the Growth-Storm technology has the potential to increase quality, decrease costs, improve the rate of return for a variety of businesses, not just in the cannabis space, but in the general agricultural sphere.
So it seems almost as if the the ex even the expanded facilities is kind of like a showcase for the technology. I mean, do you see the licensing as becoming much more producing much greater profitability than the actual production?
Absolutely. In the long term, yes. There are facilities out there that have already been built that could house the GrowStorm technology and be improved by it. And that's an opportunity for those growers, and it's an opportunity for JWC. What we're doing here is a proof of concept, just as you say. It's to prove the total efficacy. We can build an extremely successful business around this technological solution. And in the next few months, as we prove that out and as we develop this into a fully operational production facility at full scale, that will become evident. And I think that's going to, trigger a number of producers to want to switch over to the GrowStorm technology. And in years to come, as, excuse me, internationally, this total global industry approaches, billions and billions of dollars of yearly revenue, I hope to see JWC participating in that in a major way.
Okay. What do you see as sort of as your biggest challenges, over the next 12 months right now?
I think that there's a few really good answers to that question. Of course, as a business operator on a day-to-day basis, I'm dealing with challenges. Scaling is always a challenge. Finding the right personnel is going to be, a key part of that challenge of reaching scale. Our procedure, our equipment, our system allows us to implement into a new space quickly and effectively, and we proved that over the weekend. But finding the right people to manage this business and to, deal with the plants and the individuals within it, that's always going to be difficult in an emerging industry. But I think executing that shift from being a cannabis producer to being a technology company is also going to require a bit of a fundamental change in the way we at JWC think about ourselves. And I think that's going to be an interesting challenge as well. But I look at these challenges as an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity to define who we are in a way that makes us better as we do it. And so we're going to work with our industry partners, and we're going to work with other companies in the space to help us, commit to that transition and pull it off effectively.
Nathan, can you tell us about, your background and also some of the other, key members of the management team?
Sure. Well, for myself, I've come into this industry in a bit of an unusual fashion. I began as a patient and as a grower. Over 12 years ago, I suffered from a severe chronic pain condition and began growing my own medicine. And my brother, who is our COO, is a PhD candidate in plant biology. He joined our team and helped us, commit to studying the cultivation of cannabis. And quite a number of really talented individuals have helped with that project over the years. We are a family business, and many members of my family still play an important role in JWC today. We are joined by our CFO, James Denowden, who is an early investor in JWC with decades of experience at that level at Manulife Financial. It's a really terrific financial mind who's helped us, keep on track of all of those items within the business and allowed us to execute with a great deal of efficiency. William Wirth is our Chief Technology Officer and has helped over the last couple of years to really drive innovation here at JWC. He's a veteran of the Canadian Armed Forces and has drawn on that experience to help him in his current role and has, of course, headed up the development of our GrowStorm management software, which is key for the scale implementation of our technology. Lots of really talented individuals here. I could certainly go on at length. A lot of that information, of course, to be found on our website as well.
So, Nathan, what's your vision for the company, 3 years out? What, how will the business, if everything goes right, what will this business look like in terms of production, in terms of licensing? Like, what's the big picture?
3 years from now, we will have stabilized at both of our current facilities. I expect us to be targeting a production number between 35 and 40,000 kilos of high-quality cannabis every year. Certainly, it's my vision to see us recognized as the premier brand for top-quality cannabis here in Canada. And by that point, I expect to see the GrowStorm label as synonymous with high-quality cannabis on the world stage. And I think that's really the vision, is committing to that transition and to seeing this technology be a driving force in the way that everyone recognizes those markers of quality and the real indicators of success within our industry within that time period.
It's interesting. You keep talking about the tech, seeing this as a technology business. Do you at some point envision, having the Growth Storm brand kind of labeled, when you do these licenses as almost like a Intel Inside type of label,
And in fact,
co-label?
that's written into our agreements. Yes. Produced using GrowthStorm or GrowthStorm Family Company will be on each of those packages in addition to the producer's own brand. That's key for us because we're creating a unification here of a variety of different producers' efforts. They may bring their own genetics. They may bring their own flair, but they do so using technology developed here at JWC, the GrowthStorm technology. And we want people to understand that is a key element of what is going on.
Okay, so let's recap. What are the key milestones for the next 12 months investors should be tracking?
Well, I think you want to keep an eye on our expansion into our new facility. Look for our products to appear in a variety of new outlets, including retail outlets here in Canada, and look for those new licensing agreements. We're going to continue to push on that. We're going to continue to advance the cause of the GrowStorm technology, gain recognition and momentum in that field. And I think there's going to be some surprising things to come there that are going to be exciting for all our investors.
So my last question, Nathan, is, in your opinion, what are the top three reasons investors should think about, buying your stock today?
The top three reasons would be quality as a differentiating factor in regards to market price and value. The consistency of production as a backbone for reliability of a company's ability to perform moving into the future. And finally, the fact that we're able to transition beyond the generation of capital only through the sale of cannabis to the generation of revenues from the technology itself. And those three elements, I think, are all key driving factors to why, informed investors who have done their due diligence, are interested in JWC.
Nathan, thank you, and we look forward to following the James Wagner story in the months ahead.
Thanks very much, Jack. You have a good